Our friend Raj has just texted in. Come on, guys, enough of the Pakistan win yesterday. It's like rubbing salt into a wound, which is just working hard to heal. He's laughing out loud. But it's kind of top of the agenda, really, so Raj, I'm so sorry. But it's where we have to start. It's top of the sports list here because there are so many kind of offshoots, different stories here. The return of Mohammed Amir, for example, that's a great story. The new captain Sarfraz is a great story. The 18-year-old, is it Shadab?
Shadab yeah.
Khan. There are so many stories.
The man.
But it's just the fact that it was the performance of performances.
It was.
This is a team peaking at the right time, isn't it?
Certainly that. I think we've seen in the past, haven't we, that Pakistan have sometimes wilted under the pressure, but there's a new abandonment about them. They got confidence, no doubt about that, from victories in the pool stage against South Africa and Sri Lanka. That was then crystallised with a wonderful, comprehensive win against England in the semi-finals. There was a lot of expectation on their shoulders. It was just the manner that they batted, first and foremost, incredible. Belligerent, I think, is the word that Robbie used last night. But the bowling was beguiling. It was all about Mohammed Amir. A first fiver for him in ODI cricket. 5 for 54. Redemption for a man as well. 25 years of age. Let us not forget, he spent 3 months in a prison over in the UK for his part in that spot fixing.
5 years of his career, I mean.
Gone. Left arm fast bowler. There has been, talk that it was like Wasim Akram, it was like Waqar Yunus. The bowling spell he produced in those early stages yesterday was something to behold. Very interesting to listen as well to the thoughts of a few of the pundits over in there in the UK. They've put that right up with one of the greatest spells of fast bowling we have ever seen. So credit where credit is due. It is a remarkable achievement. Pakistan, rightly so, making headlines in the cricketing world for all of the right reasons, and that necessarily hasn't been the case over the past decade or so.
Robbie, nice to see some congratulatory comments from Virat Kohli as well. I watched his press conference this morning, and he was being urged by the Indian press to make excuses, essentially, but he didn't. He said they were just the better opponents. They were far better. And sometimes in cricket, you've just got to doff your cap to a more skilled display from the opposition. And that is exactly what happened. It wasn't the fact that India gave up or they threw the towel in or, these collapses do happen in cricket. And it was just that little bit of swing that Mohammed Amir found. He's not the fastest bowler. He's a bit like Waqar Yunus. Mm. He just found a little bit of turn. And that first delivery to remove Rohit Sharma, LBW, it was the plummest ball. It was absolutely unplayable. And there were three or four of those. I think it was Virat Kohli was edged to slip. Unbelievable display. It was just a comprehensive all-round bowling display. And they are the eighth-ranked team. So they were amazingly, they were out of our predictions. So they were out of our picks in the before the tournament going in.
But I mean, you kind of rightly so, really, because
just think about it. That was an incredible
rubbish at the start.
Upset. I don't think anyone's making enough of how big of a sporting upset
that's
this
the
been.
Point. India beat them at the start. It was a terrible performance, let's face it. And then all of a sudden you get to this point where momentum starts and you get something rolling. Sarfraz kind of starts to get a grip of his team. Mickey Arthur obviously did something there. You've got to mention him, I think. But then you get this performance in the final that you think, hold on a minute, I wasn't bothering with this program yesterday. I was just watching the cricket. Sally was sat there going, could you please talk to me? So no, we're doing constant updates because it was one of those games.
Yeah. I would compare this, in terms of improbability, I would compare this to Portugal winning the Euros.
Yeah, you can see the
I know there were five or six better teams on paper, and seven if you go by the world rankings, and Pakistan, they played with an abandonment, as Chris says, but you can't be too reckless. That's the problem in one day cricket. So they had discipline as well. They were able to pull off each, whether it be the spells of extremely tight bowling or knowing when to attack in terms of batting as well. It wasn't just bludgeoning, it wasn't as I think that would be a disservice to them to say that it was a reckless or a performance of abandonment because it wasn't.
But what I mean by that is an abandonment in terms of there was a lack of fear there, and it's been pointed out by a few of the former Pakistani players that this is a young team, and with youth you get a sense of exuberance, you get a sense of no fear, and I think that came out, that a lot of these players have not been scarred by the humblings that they've suffered at the hands of India and other nations in previous years, that there's almost a sense of we have no fear, we want to go out and express ourselves. And I think we saw that yesterday, that a few of those players wanted to say, you know what, we are the future, we're not scared of you, and we are capable of performing on the biggest stage. They did that, and it's up there with one of Pakistan's best ever performances, if not the best, given the fact that it is, you know, it comes against the greatest rivals.
It's great, you know, that you get something that you didn't expect in sport. Rashid says it, said it really well here. Pakistan is predictably unpredictable, yeah, which I think kind of sums it up really. Rohit texts in and says, like, calm down guys, Pakistan didn't do anything extraordinary. I'd argue they probably did. India just played like amateurs, said Rohit. India batters having a stroll in the park, they collapsed, says Raj as well.
Clearly India didn't have their best day. No. You know, there's absolutely no doubt about that. But sometimes the opposition is too good, and sometimes you just got to hold your hand up and say they didn't allow us to have our best day. The bowling in that opening spell to get India to, what was it, 54 for 5, that was an incredible display of bowling, and sometimes you just have to hold your hand up. And that's the way it goes.
Virat Kohli did. He said, look, we were just outplayed. It wasn't our day. We were outplayed. They were the better side, which is a nice thing. Joe texts in and says, maybe Greece winning the Euros is up there as well.
Greece,
I suppose,
yeah,
that's another one. Great sporting, great unpredictable sporting achievements. There you go.
Because they're such a big cricket-playing nation, that they're often perceived as underachievers. And obviously this was their first global 50-over win since 1992 when they won the World Cup, which Waqar Yunus told us was his most proud moment as a cricketer, even though he didn't play a part in any of... He was injured at the time and he met the team off the plane. But, I mean, they are a big team, but they were not a fancy team. And they've gone through the ringer. They've struggled. Obviously, the problems that they had in their home country hosting cricket. Hopefully, this is yet another nice kind of building block for them to move back to playing cricket in Pakistan. Because we saw the PSL final hosted in Lahore earlier this year, and this win will do a lot, I think, to sort of galvanise the public and the cricket fans back in their home country.
Okay, Robbie, if we can just get your thoughts on golf, maybe start with the US Open.
Uh-oh.
Yes, we can indeed. Well, Brooks Koepka is the US Open champion, first and foremost. He shot a 5-under-par round at Erin Hills, 16-under-par total, which tied Rory McIlroy's total under par as the lowest ever in US Open history. Because it was on a par 72, it was actually the lowest in relation to the score, if that makes sense, ever.
Yeah.
Hideki Matsuyama was second, as was Brian Harman. They were tied on 12 under. Just a word on Brooks Koepka was just at the press conference earlier today with the European Tour, and it was nice to be reminded that Brooks Koepka is a graduate of the European Challenge Tour and also the European Tour. He's come up through the ranks, and it's a good advert, really, for the Challenge Tour, given that at 22, most American players choose to go through the college system or they turn professional and they go onto the web.com tour and then onto the PGA tour. Brooks Koepka actually credited wins in Turkey and other places on the European tour to his performance and his victory at the US Open. As a spectacle, as a tournament, I thought it was
dull,
unmemorable.
Really?
Would you agree with Chris?
I was watching it last night, and I'm a big golf fan. And,
yeah.
The course lacked charm for me. It's a new course. It's 10 years old, I think it is. And I feel like these kind of tournaments need to be hosted on historic venues that resonate and that have great championships past, you know, that you can always draw from. And it's just for golf fans, it's a nice window.
You've got to bring in the new courses. But, you've got to kick off.
Fine, you've got 28 other tournaments in the year to do that.
Okay.
The US Open, I feel, should be sacred, and it should be played on one of America's historic venues. Just like if the Open Championship moved to the Duke's course or wherever it is in Scotland or wherever that isn't one of the historic links courses, there would be an upcry. So I wonder what direction they're trying to take it in. The other thing is, we did talk at length about this whole obsession with par and setting up the course really difficultly with great difficulty. This course was in many ways more of a bland kind of PGA Tour style venue. It resembled a Farmers Insurance or a John Deere Classic. It was just, for me, watching it on television, it was hard to get inspired. Brooks Koepka, that being said, is a great winner.
Okay. Did that surprise you?
Did what surprise you?
His success.
Not at all. No. He's been trending towards this for a while now. He made a breakthrough. Obviously won events on the European Tour. He won, I think, his first PGA Tour event last year. And then he debuted in the Ryder Cup, if you remember, back in September of last year. And he was one of America's better players. He's 27 years of age. He's coached by Claude Harmon, who coached the previous winner, Dustin Johnson, as well. So fair play to the Harmons. Of course, they are based out here as well at the Butch Harmon School of Golf. I know Justin Parsons was out there, one of the friends of the show on Sports Tonight, and another win for the Harmon family. So well done to Brooks. Definitely someone who's capable of going on and winning another one or two, and not just a one-hit wonder for sure. Although I must say, that was the seventh straight first-time major winner, and Chris has just been going, oof, golf, oof.
Your face.
I've got a problem with
zero interest.
I know. Just before we do move on from the golf, though, quickly, Robbie, speaking of lovely courses, Port Stewart is going to host the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open. Beautiful course up there.
Beautiful course up in Northern Ireland. Lucky enough to play it in the worst weather I've ever played golf in. I had to come in after eight holes, which is just very unlikely.
I have to be honest, when it's bad up there, it's bad, Robbie.
It was just horrendous. And actually, even people, I was up there, so it was sideways rain, 40 miles an hour wind, you know, just blankets of clouds coming in off the sea. And even the tourists that had come to play the course, because a lot of Americans come over to Ireland and play it, they were all huddled in the clubhouse kind of drinking hot chocolate and not going anywhere near the golf course. But I was there to review it, so I went out to try and play, lost my first ball, and then lost my second one just halfway up the fairway into like rough sort of, you know, a yard high. And then I'd lost about 25 balls by the seventh or eighth hole, and it was just kind of, rain was blowing into my eyes. I just thought, okay, I can't actually do this anymore. But it is a beautiful course. Hopefully they get slightly better weather for the Irish Open. But it's an incredible field that they've assembled there. Rory McIlroy, it's his third year hosting it. It's Dubai Duty Free's third year as title sponsor. That partnership has really led to a big boom in the Irish Open. The prize fund's gone up to $7 million. And the new world number two, Hideki Matsuyama, will make his debut alongside the likes of Justin Rose, of John Rahm, who's made a big impact over in the US. So another top quality field for the Irish Open.
Do you know, here's a question for you. Somebody's texting, no name. What little I know about golf comes from Sports Tonight. So you're doing something right. But I know Rory McIlroy's name. However, ever since I started listening to your show, Robbie, Chris, I've never heard him win anything. Why is Rory McIlroy still considered to be good? It's a fair question, because he's kind of been off the boil.
He has been off the boil. Injury problems, I think we can safely say. He's been battling this back injury. Is it the back injury that's been bothering him this year?
He broke a rib, didn't he, in South Africa, and he was actually, that's why he missed the Desert Swing. But yeah, I mean,
and
injury
that,
and
it was when he went back home and he's playing football with his mates. He had another injury there.
Yeah.
That text is actually from 437, so it is one of your regular listeners. You know,
and that's it. We know Rory is a class act, and we're both of the opinion that, all being said, if all is well, then Rory McIlroy remains, for me, the best player on the planet as golf. And he's also someone who, we're talking about this one a little earlier, people will know I'm not the biggest fan of golf right now. I think it lacks personality. It lacks someone to really take the bull by the horns and drag golf through this little stage where we're seeing an awful lot of first-time winners. Personality-wise, I question whether it's there. Rory McIlroy is capable of that. We've seen him in recent press conferences. He says it how it is. Refreshingly honest. Right now, though, his golf game just isn't there.
I've got to take a slight issue with you there. How many other sports? We saw the video, Aaron, the video that did the rounds, the four guys taking the little boy, nine-year-olds, on his birthday to school at Wentworth. People like Henrik Stenson, Beef Johnson, Martin Keimer, they're golfers, Chris. They're not MMA fighters.
You still want, you know, they're not. Still, come on.
And let's be honest, they've got a hell of a lot more personality than most footballers.
Absolutely.
Let's be fair here. Come on, and I've interviewed my fair share. I know you've interviewed
you
even more.
You look at the world's top players right now. Take Rory and McIlroy aside. Dustin Johnson, you've said it yourself. No personality. He's duller than ditch water. Jordan Spieth.
Oh, no.
Jordan Spieth. Would you go out for a drink with Jordan Spieth?
Jordan Spieth is a very articulate young man.
He is an old man with young shoulders.
I'm going to mediate this slightly, probably because I should. I don't really want
to,
because you're very entertaining.
It's
a different game, though. This is the thing. Golf is a solo in-your-head game. It's a little bit like tennis in that way, and it's a battle against yourself as much as it is against an opponent or a field of players. It's very difficult to compare football.
You're never going to get the situation where golfers, where you have in tennis, where you've got three or four, the big four, who are going up against one another in all the Grand Slam tournaments, because golf just isn't like that.
Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah, but they didn't. They didn't do that, did they? Arnold Palmer won 7 majors in his entire career.
Yeah,
he's
7 majors.
He's one of the greatest of all time.
How much did Gary Player win? And they all played in the same era.
This is back in an era before the professionalism of golf.
Still happened. All within the same era.
Yeah, but this is back when only 10 guys could win a golf tournament.
Now there are a lot.
Right, now there's like 100.
But that doesn't mean Dustin Johnson...
Golf is a victim of its own success. Tiger Woods has produced a professionalism in golf that has gotten players to a standard where now 100 guys can win a tournament. And that's why you're not seeing people stack up win after win after win. When Dustin Johnson wins 3 times in a row, it's remarkable. We'll never see Tiger Woods' figures ever again. That's just the way of the game.
Does Dustin Johnson move the needle for golf? Tournament. Does his personality move the needle for golf? No, it doesn't. Does Jordan Spieth?
Right,
no, it doesn't.
Boys.
Do you know what? On Sports Tonight this evening, it's not actually Sports Tonight, it's Monday Night Football, but I feel it's going to be a good show.
That is Monday Night Football.
437 texts back in and said, didn't even mean to cause a fight this time between you two.
You can't help it. Just say hello and they're at each
other.
We are more
on this show than we do on YouTube.
Obviously, we'll leave as good chumps. we'll walk out of this studio... Not hand in hand, but you know, just...
And argue this point upstairs for an hour.
Do you think you'll skip gaily down the corridor?
Our own running order has just been blown out of the window.
No, before we even started this, before we even came on air, you two sat down and you were even bickering about whether you were going to start an argument about this. You were like, I'm not talking about that. Yeah, we are going to talk about it. Let's talk about it on air. So I don't even know what that bit was about in itself.
His point, but let's be honest.
Robbie,
it's golf trying to be something that's not. That's what I don't...
Why shouldn't it not? Why shouldn't golf have a personality?
Can it not just have...
Why should it not have a personality?
It does. It does.
Well, okay. I tell you what, I'm going to beg to differ here by using the lost word to mediate between you. This is what we're doing.
The lost word.
Grand theft. Trio charged over $300,000 heist.
Oh, we need that again. Hold on. The lost word today.
The lost word.
Grand theft. Trio charged over $300,000 heist.
Okay, grand theft.
Blank. Trio. Oh. Charged over $30,000 heist.
Yeah, that's the word I thought.
The first thing I worked on
brings back memories of playing that video game for hours at university.
Did you both play that?
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, you did. Okay, I thought you might have done that. Did you play together? Obviously not.
It was. I'm right. It was a Scottish developer. If memory serves me.
Was it really? Do you know? I think you might be right.
Dundee, I think.
Yeah. I think you're right there. Any thoughts on that? And do you want to? You both going for Auto? Because I went straight for Auto. There. I think a lot of people are going to go there. Somebody says, Robbo says, I agree with Chris. Just because golf is a different game doesn't mean it couldn't benefit from some personalities. Sanjay says, calm down, guys. Raj takes in. Any chance of trading blows there, Tim? I'd love for someone to just hit
that radio station just in the middle, right in the middle of that argument, and gone, hang on a minute, is this supposed to be live on air?
Yeah, so when you come
is
down
this
next
broadcast
time,
content,
remember that you're on the radio when you have a fight. That's the thing. You've done well. Great. Robbie, Chris, nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
No matter your preferred communication, stay in touch with Drive Live, only on Dubai Eye. 103.8.
If you like what Robbie and Chris have to say, or like the fact that they bicker constantly like small children, then Monday Night Football tonight, they're going to be live at the Down Anchor. Special guest this evening is Mikael Silvestro,
the ex-Manchester United
man, who's going to be with them, I think, for the whole show, actually, among other guests.
Yeah, I wonder what his perspective is going to be on the Ronaldo thing. We're too busy bickering to get to Ronaldo today, so I think it'll be wall-to-wall Ronaldo chat tonight at the Down Anchor. But yeah, it'd be interesting to hear that.
Yeah, Chris thinks there's nothing in that.
He does. He's quite adamant. Sure. But I pointed an article out to him before he came downstairs. And, you know, the rumour mill is in full swing, though, isn't it? I think it's interesting. And people are now saying it might be a move to keep Conte at Chelsea. If you get Ronaldo in, if he's that unhappy in Spain, bring Ronaldo to Chelsea, keep Conte there for a while. And then you get the other side of the coin who says he doesn't want to go. He's just kicking up a fuss to sort out the contract. Then you've got the other side again who says he's got his heart set on a return to Manchester United. We'd welcome him back with open arms. but not
we,
at a price.
Oh, we, there you go.
Not at a price of £175 million.
See, that's the thing. But there's another player in that, and David De Gea's in that, isn't he, or something? Whatever. However, yeah, they would work it out. But all of these, it's all speculation in various tabloids. But there's, yeah, there's no smoke without fire. NLT, I always think.
No, I think we should take a leaf out of the boys' book and just fight for the rest of the program. Anything you say, I'm going to disagree with now for the rest of today.
The thing is, none of that is set up. I've just got a list of things. And I thought, well, that's an interesting story. I'll ask them about that. Ask them about that. You've got a list there of interesting things to ask, hopefully interesting things to ask. Then you say something and they're at each other's throats. It's not set up. It's just...
Is so interesting, though, and I think it is a bit of a reflection in their personalities, because Robbie is very laid back and he loves golf, and you can see why he loves golf, and he's suited to that. And then you've got Chris, who's like talking a million seconds an hour, and
a million seconds an hour.
Yeah, I know, I realised that was wrong when I said it, but you know, I can't take it back. It's out of my mouth,
it's out there, it's in the ether.
I've said it now, I've done a Robbie. So it's out there. But you know, they're so different, and you can see, you know, they're both so passionate about what they believe in. It's funny watching them as well.
Yeah, it's great. It's like 10 minutes off for us. It's just fantastic. So the lost word today, I can't get past, like Robbie and Chris, I can't get past Grand Theft Auto, because it's...
The lost word.
Grand Theft Trio charged over $300,000 heist.
Okay, so there is a heist, there's a robbery, and is it anything to do with Grand Theft Auto?
No, but the headline the headline is a play on Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
That's where they've gone. If you were listening at the top of the programme, I gave a bit of a clue, do you remember?
Yeah.
Because I thought this one was quite tricky.
Sure.
Can Tim remember what that clue was? Look at your face, you weren't listening to me at all.
I'm squirming.
You don't listen. You don't listen to me, and you don't listen to Sally. If she was sat in here right now, she'd be like, yep, Natalie's right.
I do listen. I just have selective hearing, that's all.
Yes. Yeah. It's my husband calls it Wife FM, so he just tunes out when I'm talking too long.
I've often thought, I've been married for some years, and I've often thought some of it's just white noise that I don't need, and some of it's really important stuff.
Yeah.
Did I say that out loud?
Yes.
Oh.
I hope she's listening.
So
you'll be in a lot of trouble.
Colin says avocado, which is thanks.
Someone else. Oh, 437 said turtle.
Was that what it was?
No.
Oh.
Do you want to know what it is?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. The answer is avocado.
What?
Yeah. So the headline from today's papers is Grand Theft Avocado Trio charged over $300,000 heist. So it's a lot of money, isn't it? The clue I gave you earlier on was it was about a hipster item. And basically, three men in America have been accused of nicking this avocado from a plant. And basically, three of them have been charged with grand theft of fruit. And they're being held in jail on bail of $250,000 each. And they were arrested yesterday. And detectives began investigating the suspects in May after receiving a tip they were conducting unauthorized cash sales of avocados. And the thing that made this story for me, Tim, today was there was a statement from the sheriff's office in California, and they said, "We take these kinds of thefts seriously. It's a big product here in California." And the sheriff, Sergeant John Franchi, told the Los Angeles Times, "Everybody loves avocados."
Yeah, no, they don't.
You don't.
Sorry,
no, you don't.
I'm not friendly with them.
As I said, a hipster essential item, avocado, and an illegal racket in ripe avocados. You just could not make that up, could you?
Is it true that you put them in a paper bag?
Well, there's lots of different tips. A paper bag is one, but leaving them near bananas ripens them really quickly.
Does that work?
Yeah, bananas emit a gas. I don't know what the gas is called. And if you put them near a banana, it ripens them.
Okay. More food tips, same time tomorrow.